The book of Acts with me tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you, sometimes you just don't know what people are looking for in a church. You know that? There's all kinds out there. There's all kinds of churches out there. There's the IHOP church. No, they don't meet at the IHOP. But that's the IHOP church. That's right. They go and they bebop at the IHOP. And have a big, you know, dancing time and all that kind of stuff. You can find about anything you want in a church. What are you looking for in a church? What are you looking for? Some people, they're looking for anonymity. They want to go be lost in a crowd. Just be a face in a multitude of people out there. So nobody knows who they are. You know what? They're not looking for only anonymity. They're looking for the fact that they don't have accountability. Right? And so there's a lot of people looking for a lot of different things in a church. There's some people that are looking for entertainment in a church. Man, right. There's some people, they come in church and they sit down in the church pew and they're not there for 2 minutes. They're back up and back out the door. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a lot of people, they just really don't know what they're even looking for in church. Man, what are you looking for in church? What are you looking for? Tall, dark, handsome pastor? Wrong place. Wow. What are you looking for? Had somebody come, a place where you can go and socialize with the rich and famous? Wrong place. What are you looking for when you go to church? What are you looking for? What are you expecting to find when you go to church? What are you hoping to encounter? You just looking for a good time? Looking for a good fellowship? Or is there something more that you're looking for when you go to church? What are you looking for? What is it that you desire in a church? Well, is it air conditioning? We got that. Some people think too much. Some people think not enough. What is it that you look for in a church? I tell you, when you really stop and think about what is it that makes church, man, where you can go and feel the presence of God, feel the glory of God, feel the Holy Spirit, right? Have your needs met and feel like God talks to you and feel like your heart is challenged. That's what you ought to find in a church. That's what you ought to find in a church. And if you can't, let me tell you, you can go look far and wide, but if you just can't feel the presence of God, amen. Me and Brother Rob were talking this morning about, for unchurched people to go to a church, man, that's difficult. Well, you don't understand this because you're churched. And if you walk out of these doors tonight and you go somewhere, and I let you out real early and you get to go somewhere else for your second service tonight, which I know you won't, unless they have it at McDonald's. But if you go to church somewhere and you're going to walk in, you're going to be familiar with church because you're church people. But for people that don't go to church, do you know what it is to walk in the door of a church? Man, you don't know what you're getting into. You don't know what you're going to find. You don't know what to expect. I remember when we had just started out in Vandalia, Ohio. We had a little bitty church in a real bad neighborhood. Real bad neighborhood. There was no windows in the building. No windows. And a solid steel door. That's welcoming right there. That is inviting for the stranger right there. And I remember when that family came, Carlos and Sandra came, and they came to visit for the first time. They stayed with us for, I guess, 13 to 14 years after they walked in the door for the first time. And they never left after they came in the door. But he told me later, he said, man, that was the scariest thing. The scariest thing. You know how they found us? They opened up the phone book to Pentecost and went right down the front. Church started with an A, and there they were. They came and found us. Said they sat out in the parking lot for the longest time because they didn't know if they really wanted to, you know, what was on the other side of the steel door. What's on the other side of the steel door? They were apprehensive about what was waiting for them. You know, you would be too. My luck, I'd open the steel door and I'd be on the platform. Yeah. I mean, once you begin, you gotta open it at a crack and you pick your head in to see what it is. But you know what? It's not the building, but it's the presence of God that the people are looking for when they go to church. When they go to church, they're not just going to hear a sermon. They're not just going to hear songs. They're not just going to hear that. They want to feel the presence of an almighty God. Amen. They come with needs in their life. They come with needs in their heart. And they need to meet with God. Hallelujah. Well, this morning service was not programmed at all. It was not programmed. That's not the way we do it. You know, man, we usually have songs and prayer, songs, and then maybe a special, and then we'll the small song, and then we'll preach to them, and then we'll have an altar call. That's not how it works out sometimes, you know that? Because people don't come just for the songs. People don't come just to hear the preaching. People come to get in contact with God. Amen. And that's what it's all about, meeting with God. Hallelujah. Amen. So right now, if you want to take off, right now's your chance, because we're going to do something else here. I'm kind of, you know. All right. Hallelujah. Some people just need to meet God. That's why they go to church. That's why they go to church. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? What are you looking for tonight? What are you looking for tonight in church? Huh? Some of these young guys got cleaned up. They're probably looking for a girlfriend. Some of these girls over here, they got cleaned up, and they hope he finds it. What did you come to church for? Some people come to church just for the after-church activities. Is that what you come for? Some people go to church just hoping that they'll get to sing. Some people go to church hoping, I hope you don't ask me to sing. What'd you come for tonight? Acts chapter 3 is where we're going to turn to. What are you looking for in church? What are you looking for? Man, I'll tell you what, some people never satisfied. What are you looking for in church? You know, it's kind of like going and you get in the car with your wife. Say, what do you want to eat? Oh, I don't know. Whatever. Well, I don't. What do you want? I don't really care. What do you want? Well, I don't know. I'm not really hungry. You pick tonight. No, I picked the last time. You pick tonight. Okay, I'll name three, and then you got to pick. Been here? Right? Somebody, please just make a decision. Some people go to church and say, well, you know, what do we want? What do we want? It's like ordering a hamburger. Do we want pickles on it? Mustard? You know, you go to Wendy's and order a cheeseburger. I want everything on it. I want a cheeseburger. Nothing on it but the cheese. Wow. Some people go and they say, I want a double cheeseburger and I want everything on it. And give me extra mustard. I mean, you know, everybody has their own type of thing that they like. Some people order and say, I want everything, but don't give me onions. Ooh, don't put mustard on that. I can't stand mustard. What are you looking for when you go to church? It's not about how some people pick a church. Right? What are you looking for? Oh, well, I don't even know if that has anything to do with what I'm preaching tonight, but man, if it keeps going like I'm feeling, it probably will. Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. and it gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. What are you looking for when you go to church? What are you looking for when you go to church? And I tell you what, I couldn't get that thought out of my mind all afternoon. What are you looking for when you go to church? When I wrote, sit there this afternoon, I wrote that down right there. What are you looking for when you go to church? What are you looking for? When we read this story here, we find there's a number of people going to church. There's a number of different people that's making their way to church. We got Peter and John, they're going to church. We've got a lame man that's going to church. We've got those that are going to church that's carrying a lame man. And then I believe you also have other worshipers that are going, other people that are going for church, to church, for all types of various of reasons, they're making their way to the house of God to go to church. Some are going to pray. Some are going so that they can pray, P-R-E-Y. Some are going up so they can pray, and others are going out so that they can pray on those that are going into the temple. Some are going up so that the hour of prayer to seek God and to call out on the Lord, while some are sitting there at the gate seeking those to help them and looking for others to meet their need. Why is it that you go to church? What is it that you're looking for tonight? Why'd you come here tonight? Why did we come to all the go to the trouble of starting up the car or using that $4 a gallon gas to come to get here to the church house? Why is it? Why is it that some of you traveled a good distance? Some of you probably drove for 30 minutes to get here. Yeah, some of you came a good way. Some of you had to put gas in the car. And some of you, like me, just barely had enough gas in the car to get here. And we're hoping that after it's over with, that we can make it to the gas station. And it'd really be nice if we can make it all the way to Lilac and get it 20 cents cheaper. Some of you know, I mean, we've come a long way, went to a lot of trouble to be here. But why did we come? Why did we endeavor, and why did we work, and why did we try to get here tonight? Was it so you come and hear singing? I don't think that's the only reason why you came. Was it so you came so you could come and see Brother David and Sister Ruth? That's not the reason why you came. Why is it that you're here? Here's a lame man. He's got a need in his life. Here's a lame man he's in pitiful shape. He can't even get there on his own, but when he gets to church, he wants to sit outside of the gate. He sits outside of the gate, and he's begging of all of those that are coming in. And he's hoping that he might receive something from them. He's looking on them, hoping to receive some little coin or some little piece of money, something that will sustain him for another time, another day, that he can go for a little while longer. And he's looking and shaking his cup at each and every one as they come in the gate, and begging of them and asking of alms of them. You know, people at church are very charitable people. Church has always been a place for the down and out. Right? It's always been a place for those who were in need to find help. It's always been a place, the church has always been a place where the one that was down on his luck could go and try to get a little bit of help and get a fresh start and maybe get ministered to. Why? Because church is known for its charity. It's known for its charity. And when people are in need, they come to the church. And I believe that's one of the purposes of the church. But this man, this lame man, he knew what he would find when he came to the church. He'd find a lot of good people that was coming to church. And some of them would be willing to help him out in his time of need and drop a coin into his cup and let him live for another day. Give him existence for one more day. Why did he come to church? Why did he go to the temple? Why did he end up sitting at the gate beautiful? Because he was hoping just to make it one more day. He was coming looking for help from somebody else. He was coming looking for somebody to minister to him. He was looking for somebody to come and to meet his need. But the fact was, he was sitting outside of the gate. Sitting outside the gate. There's so many people that go to church, but they never get beyond the gate. So many people, they go to church and they've got needs in their life. They need God to help them. They need God to talk to them. And they really need God to minister to them. But they come to church and they never go beyond the gate. See, it's beyond the gate is where the presence of God is. It's beyond the gate is where God dwells. Beyond the gate is where the worship's taking place. It's beyond the gate where people's having fellowship with God. Beyond the gate is where people's coming in contact with their Lord and with their Savior. I mean, that's where it's happening. But there's so many people, they come to church and they never get beyond the gate. You wonder why? What are they looking for? What are they looking for? Some people, they come with needs in their life and they're just looking. See, who's going to help me today? Some people come with the need of, in their life, they're lonely people. And they just want to come and find fellowship, find somebody to talk to, and just be around good people. They never get beyond the gate. Some people come, amen, they come and they just like to be in a church because they've always been raised that you go to church. They're raised, you know, you go to church, but they come and they sit there in the church to you and they attend the service, but they never get beyond the gate. Some people come and they've got needs in their life and they sit outside of the gate and they never get their need met. Oh, they make it, get a little morsel or a little something to help them make it for another day or another week, but when it really comes out to it, they never really get their need met. Amen. Really, watch when you go to church, you gotta go beyond the gate a little bit farther. Amen. Because sometimes we're worried about what we're gonna get. What am I gonna receive here? If you really want to receive something from church, you gotta go beyond the gate. Gotta go beyond the gate. Peter and John, they come to church. They come at a time of prayer. Here comes Peter and John. They're coming and they have something to offer. Peter and John, they're coming and they've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter and John, they don't just come to church just because they need to come and get help, but they're coming to church because they're full of the Holy Ghost. And when they come to help. Amen. Thank God there's some people when they come to the house of God, they've already prayed. They've already been filled with the Holy Ghost. They've already got the touch of God on their life. And when they walk in the door, they're ready to minister to help somebody. Amen. And to help God, help somebody reach God and get a hold of God and receive something in their life. Amen. They come to church to meet with God. I don't think when Peter and John set out to go to church, and then when they said, you know what, it's time of prayer, the hour of prayer, and you know that lame man at the gate, we need to go by and we need to take him with us to church. We need to go by and heal him on our way into the temple today. I don't think that's really what happened. I think they was going to church to have communion with God and have fellowship with God. They were going to meet with God. They were already prayed up, but they was going to have fellowship with God. And one of the reasons why we need to go to church is because when we come in the door, and we need to say, Lord, I'm here to have fellowship with you. Lord, I'm here to meet with God. I'm here, Lord, God, to have fellowship and communion with God. Man, I'll tell you, there's so many people that they look for fellowship. They look for fellowship. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister Ruth didn't know what I was going to talk about tonight. Sister Ruth Keaton didn't know what I was going to talk about tonight. But Sister Ruth Keaton went to church this afternoon with one of her friends. And they had Elvis at church today. And Elvis, no, it wasn't the real Elvis. I know you still think he's alive working in Burger King in Michigan. He may be. But it was an Elvis impersonator. Somebody's all shook up. Because that's what a lot of people go to church for. That's all the church means. That's what all the church has become. And somebody can go and let's see what we're going to have. Man, the pastor's got to work to schedule something. And you're getting pretty desperate when you're scheduling in an Elvis impersonator. You're scraping the bottom of the barrel. An Elvis impersonator. Goodness. I can't believe it. I'm in shock that the people would be, that's what they look for in church. An Elvis impersonator. Whatever happened to saying, Lord, I'm going to church. I don't know who's going to be there. I don't know what's on the program. But Lord, I want to come and just meet with you. God, I'm going to have fellowship with you. I'm going to have a sweet time in your presence. Amen. That's why we go to church. Amen. There's buildings everywhere, churches that you can walk into, but you've got to go somewhere where you feel the presence of an almighty God and where you can go and have fellowship with Him. Man, you can't go to church running from people. You can't go to church trying to hide out from people. That's not why you go. You can't go to church trying to find a place where nobody knows you and nobody recognizes you. That's not what it's about. Amen. But you go to church so you can meet with God. And so you have fellowship with God. And you can feel the presence of God. And let me tell you, if you go and you don't feel the presence of God, you need to find an altar and call out to Him and say, God, I want to meet with you. Sorry. It probably won't happen with an Elvis impersonator. Man, but it'll happen when you meet with Jesus. And you meet with Jesus Christ and have fellowship with Him. Amen. Where the Holy Spirit can move and where you can feel the holy power of God. Hallelujah. You need to go to church where there's people that pray. Right? You need to go to church where there's people that know how to pray and know how to get a hold of God. Hallelujah. There's going to come a day you're going to need somebody to get a hold of heaven. You're going to need somebody that can ring the bells of heaven. You're going to need one day, Lord, I need somebody to touch heaven for me, to pray for me, Lord. I need somebody, Lord, to change my future by praying for me, Lord. You're going to have to go to a church where people know how to pray. There's a lot of churches today. The altars are gone. That's right. And they no longer have an altar call. Even for the lost, they don't even invite them to the front to pray. They ask them to raise their hand. Then sometimes they'll ask them to go into a side room with them. But they never invite them down. As many of them don't ever invite them down to an altar to pray. I've been in those churches. I've preached in those churches. And then I gave an altar call. They stood there and looked at me like, what are you talking about? Amen. You need a church where people pray. Amen. You need to go to a church where there's people calling out on God. You need to go to a church where people lift up their voice and talk to God. Amen. You don't need to go to a church where they're talking to a counselor or where they're talking to somebody in a back room. Amen. You need to go to church where somebody's talking to an almighty God. Amen. It's not about going into a closet.
talking through a little hole and saying, here's my problem.
Come on. You need an altar. You need to go to church where people know how to pray. Where people know how to pray. Where there's people that can pray down and have what you need in your heart, in your life. You need to go to church. Amen. Where there's not only there's people that's praying, but where there's people that's filled with the Holy Ghost. That's right. People filled with the Holy Ghost. Notice I didn't say you need to go to a Pentecostal church. I didn't say that. I said you need to go to church where people are filled with the Holy Ghost. So why is that? Well, there's a lot of Pentecost churches where people are not filled with the Holy Ghost. Sometimes not even the pastor is filled with the Holy Ghost. That's right. You need to find a church where the people are filled with the Holy Ghost. Because I'll tell you what you need, and when you go to church, you need to feel the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You need to go to a church where you can feel the power of God and feel the Spirit of God. Amen. You need to go to a church where you can feel the presence of God come down and move in a song service. Where you can feel the Holy Ghost dealing with your heart. Amen. Where you can feel the power of God moving in your soul and feel the glory of God filling that house. Amen. You need to be in a church where you feel the Holy Ghost. And you're only going to feel it when you've got people there that's filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. You need to go to a church where there's people, amen, that are filled with the Holy Ghost and they're moved on by the Spirit of God and they're full of the power of the Holy Ghost and are used in the gifts of the Spirit, amen, where you can get your need met. Amen. You need to be in a church where there's somebody, there's people that's filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, there's so many churches you go to and everybody sits there dead, uninterested, sleeping. That's right. You go to a church and sometimes the only thing they're interested in is they're following the cues on the big screen behind the preacher and it says, you know, the song, they're into the music and they're into that, but there's nobody there that's feeling the presence of God and feeling the Holy Ghost and feeling the Spirit of the Almighty God. Man, you got to have somebody that's got the Holy Ghost. Tell you why. Because when you have a need, you need somebody that's got been filled with the Holy Ghost. You need somebody that can say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah. When you go to church, you need to go to church where somebody's full of the Holy Ghost, full of the power of God. Amen. Where you go to a friend and say, Lord, here's my need. And suddenly the power of God comes down and touches you and heals you and moves on your life and meets the need that you have in your life. You need to go to a church where people are filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. People go to church every day, walk in with needs in their life, and they walk out with needs in their life. They come in, they need God to help them desperately. They feel like they are at the very end. Amen. They need healing in their body. They need healing in their home. They need God to do a miracle in their life. And when they come to church, they need to feel the power of God and feel the Holy Ghost. And they need, when they're prayed for, they need to feel the Spirit of God. And they need to feel the holy power of God touching their soul so that they believe and know that God has touched me. Man, they need to leave different than they came. Amen. You need to go to church where people are filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. When you go to church, you don't want to just stay outside the gate. Notice what Peter and John said. Silver and gold have I none, such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Tell you what, you need to go to church where Jesus is still Lord. Hear me? You need to go to church where Jesus is still Lord. Hallelujah. I still believe in the name of Jesus. I still believe in power in the name of Jesus. Amen. You need to go to church where Jesus is Lord. Amen. There's a lot of churches that don't even want to mention the name of Jesus. A lot of places don't even talk about it. You need to go to someplace, go to a church where Jesus is still Lord, where people still believe there's power in the name of Jesus, and that there's power for salvation in the name of Jesus, and there's power for healing in the name of Jesus, and there's power over wickedness and over the devil in the name of Jesus. You need to go to a church where Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Amen. There's churches today that it's a personality church. It's all based upon the man. Based upon the man. The banks even realize this, and they may command the pastor take a life insurance policy on himself because they know if anything happens to him, that church is closing up and is in trouble. And they want that mortgage on that huge multi-million-dollar building to be covered. So make him take out a life insurance policy on himself for millions of dollars so that when he dies, that mortgage is paid for. Don't get any ideas, folks. That's not what we're looking for. Looking for a place where Jesus is Lord. Amen. It's not about me. It's not about our entertainment. It's all about the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to go to church where Jesus is Lord. What are you looking for in church? I'll tell you something else you need to find. You need to find a church that can meet the need in your life. There's a lot of people still sitting outside the gate. They've got needs in their heart and in their life. And let me tell you, Beth Chapel, if we're not careful, we'll close our eyes to the people that's in need. And not only that, we've got to meet the need. We've got to be able to help them with their need. When we pray, we've got to be able to touch heaven. Man, because what we are trying to do here at Beth Chapel, amen, is not to fill the seats. Not to get a bunch of people here, but I'll tell you, we're trying to get people beyond the gate. We're trying to get people beyond the gate. We're trying to get them to go beyond the gate. Where what? Where they go walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Amen. I think that's what it's all about, to see people get beyond the gate. Amen. Not where they're sitting there like this, but when they come in, they got their hands thrown up in the air and they're worshiping God. Not where they come in, they say, Lord, what are you going to give me now? What's the church going to do for me today? But when they come in and say, Lord, you are God. Lord, we worship you. We need to come to church where we get to people beyond the gate where they can praise God and where they can glorify God. And that only happens when their need is met. When their need is met. God, we got to get them beyond the gate. Get them beyond the gate. It's not just to try to carry people from one week to the next. We're not just running buses just so we can get people, keep kids on our bus and bring them every Sunday until they get 15 years old and then turn them loose to the world. Amen. We've got to get them beyond the gate, church. We've got to get them beyond the gate. Amen. We're not spending gas rolling around picking these kids up so that we can just keep them for a little while. Amen. We've got to get them beyond the gate. Amen. Where they know what it is to throw their hands up. Not just coming to church because we've got the neatest looking buses or the nicest bus captains or the best treats or the best program. But they're coming because they met God and their need was met. Amen. They got homes that's falling apart. Families that are broken. Amen. They need God in their life. Amen. All the way they're going to get beyond the gate is if there's a church that's able to meet their need. It's people that's there tonight that's got needs in their life. Man, they need God to touch them so they can get beyond the gate and where God can minister to them. Tell you what, if you're going to go to church, Amen. Go to a church. Amen. That's getting people beyond the gate. That's right. And I tell you, that's where I feel like we need to do better. Getting people beyond the gate. Getting needs met. This morning when Shannon came into church this morning, not you, Shannon. When she walked in the door, I saw her come in. I thought there's something there, you know, just the look on her face. She wasn't in the church building 5 minutes before she said she was coming to the front. She had a need. She had a need, and why'd she come? She came because she had a need in her life. She needed God to move for her. She needed God to help her. She needed to get beyond the gate. What about every one of us? We come to church. What are we looking for when we come to church? What are you looking for? Some's looking for healing. Some's looking for deliverance. Some's looking for salvation. Tonight, when in the service, many of you never noticed it, but I think there's at least three people who walked in, sat down in the back seat, and was there for 2 minutes. Maybe 2 minutes. And they walked back out. Why do you go to church? Last night there was three people, different people. Three people that came in, walked in, that sat down over here on Brother Bob and Sister Carrie's seat right around there, maybe where Katie's sitting, and sat there, was there for no more than 10 minutes, and got up and left. Why do you go to church? Why do you go to church? I tell you, those people didn't come to Bethel Chapel. They didn't walk in these doors because they heard about me. They didn't know me from Adam. They didn't come here to walk in these doors because we have a building that's situated in such a perfect spot that they couldn't help but walk in the door. I'll tell you why they came in those doors. They had a need that was driving them. They had a need that was driving them into that door. That's why they came. Even if it was a financial need, it's still a need that makes them seek out the church. Right? Come on. Maybe it's sickness in their body. Maybe they got a bad report from the doctor. Maybe they had sickness. And they said, we need to get church. Maybe they're having trouble in their home. Maybe their home's falling apart. And they said, you know what? We need to go down to that church down the street. Maybe they were having trouble. Maybe there's some problem that came up in their life. And they said, you know what? We need to go to that church that we've been hearing about, that your guy you're working with has told you about. We need to go to that church. We need to get there. But there's something that's driving them in the door. And we may only have them for 2 minutes. We may only have them for 10 minutes. But when they get here, even if it's for 2 minutes, they need to feel something. When they open the door, they need to feel God. They need to feel the Holy Ghost. They need to feel the power of God. It don't matter if it's 2 minutes or 10 minutes or 30 minutes. They need to feel something. They need to feel like, you know what? I believe there is something here that can change my life. There is something here that can meet my need. Hallelujah. Man, there's something that brings them here. Something. God help us that when we go to church, we find what it is that we're looking for. Amen. Find what it is we're looking for. Man, I wished I could do better on this, but that's what I've had on my mind all day long. What are you looking for when you go to church? Stand with us if you want. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Hallelujah. Some people's looking for acceptance. Others are looking for deliverance. Some are looking for financial need, never realizing that they have a greater need in their life than their finances. But the need, that's the need of salvation for their soul. What is it? What is it that brought you to church? What was it that brought them people in the back door tonight? I wonder. What was it? I wonder, what was it that brought... What was it that brought those people into church last night? They were only here for a few minutes. I asked their name when they came in the door. I remember the man's name. I remember the man's name. But what was it that they were needing when they came here? That family last night, it wasn't finances. They weren't needing money. You can tell that wasn't one of their needs. But there was something. Something that brought them to Bethel Chapel. We only had 10 minutes, church. We only had 10 minutes. The 25 of us that were here, man, we were just going through our normal Saturday night service. We only had 10 minutes. If somebody walks in the door right now, sits down in the back seat, what are they going to feel right now? What are they going to feel? The drunk walks, staggers in the back door, falls into a pew back there. What's he going to feel? What's he going to feel? The mother whose home's falling apart, she comes in on a Sunday morning, sits down in the pew. She's only here for a service, only here for 30, 45 minutes in a service. What is she going to feel? What's she going to leave with? Man. Brother Adair, you talk about going into the jail, and you know it's the opposite there. You're going in, but you've got 30 minutes. 30 minutes? An hour? An hour? What are you going to do? What are you going to leave behind in an hour? Is a life going to be changed? Is somebody going to be touched? You've got a limited amount of time. Limited amount of time. Next time you go, some of those kids aren't going to be there, Brother Adair. Some of them's going to be gone. Some of them's going to be moved out. Some of them may have already gone into another jail somewhere. But you've only got a limited amount of time. Somebody, you got to leave something there. You got to make a difference in 1 hour. Hey, Sunday school teachers, you got them for 1 hour. 1 hour. They walk in the door. They sit down. They're coming out of a bad home. They're coming out of an abusive home. They're coming out of a bad situation. You got them for 1 hour when they walk out of the door. What have you done for them? Well, I gave them something to eat. Gave them some candy. But have you given them something that's going to change their life? You know what? I need to remind myself every time I get up here to preach. You're preaching for 30 minutes. 30 minutes. Beyond 30 minutes, most of the chapel's going to turn me off anyway. You got 30 minutes. What am I going to be able to leave in 30 minutes? What am I going to be able to do? Who am I going to be able to touch in those 30 minutes? Beth Chapel, when we go to church, man, Jesus needs to be Lord. We need to come full of the Holy Ghost. We need to come prayed up. And we need to come knowing how to pray when we get here. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, church is too important for us to come in, needing our 45 minutes to get prayed through ourselves. Amen. Before we can start even thinking about anybody else. Amen. We may only have 10 minutes to reach somebody. You need to come in the door, prayed up, full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Believe it or not, in some cases, the visitor's already in and out before some of the people ever get here because they're 10 minutes late. Right? God help us when we come to church. Why are you here tonight? What did you come for? What what'd you come for? Hallelujah. I come here tonight. Amen. I come, Lord. I want to make a difference in somebody. Amen. As I sat at my desk this afternoon, that's what I had on my heart. Lord, I want to do something different. I want to see something for somebody. I want somebody to leave with their need met in their life tonight. I want to see somebody changed. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our head. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, help us. God, first of all, to evaluate our own self. God, to see where we stand, Lord. Why are we coming? Why are we here? Why did we come here tonight, Lord Jesus? God, did we just come here, Lord God, because we're supposed to? Did we come here tonight out of obligation? Did we come here tonight, Lord God, because we knew it's what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to be Christians and we go to church on Sunday. God, why are we here? God, I ask you, Lord Jesus, God, that you would, secondly, Lord God, that you would talk to those that have needs in their life. Help them, Lord God, to realize that this is a place where they can get beyond the gate. They may have come today with needs in their heart, needs in their home, needs in their very life, oh God. But I believe, Lord Jesus, that just a few moments in the presence of God can alter that. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, let Bethel Chapel have the power of God. Let Bethel Chapel have the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Ghost dwell upon us so that we too can say, such as I have, give I thee. Lord, I pray, God, give us the power of God to change lives, to meet needs, to make a difference. I ask it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise God. If you're here tonight and you've got a need in your life, amen, I first of all want to invite you to come. I want you to step out right now. Come to this altar. Come to this altar. Amen, you've got a need in your life. Hallelujah. You need God to do something for you, to move for you, to work for you. Hallelujah, Jesus. That's why we come. Man, that's why you come to church, because you come looking for God to meet a need in your life.
Trouble.
And when you come and you're despondent, you come and you're discouraged, you come and you're downhearted, amen, you come, you're burdened down with the worries and the struggles of life, you come with needs in your life. Amen, you come to church and you expect to meet with God. And when you get here, you expect to meet Him. Hallelujah, Jesus. God, I'm coming here, Lord God, with needs in my life. I'm coming here tonight, Lord God, with a need in my heart. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, just come if we would. Amen. Let's come and let's pray for one another. Pray for these with needs. Amen. Let's come full of the Holy Ghost. Let's come touch heaven for our brothers and our sisters. Let's come and let's reach out and touch God. Amen. Somebody's counting on you. Somebody's counting on your prayers tonight. Somebody's counting on you being full of the Holy Ghost. Somebody's counting on you to be able to get a hold of God to make a difference. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah,
of the King.
Lord, help our brothers, Lord. Help our sisters tonight, Lord Jesus. God, they have needs in their life today, Lord. They have needs in their heart. God, they have needs of healing tonight, Lord. God, would you move on them, Lord Jesus? God, let them feel the power of God. Let them immediately, Lord God, feel the Holy Ghost. Let the Spirit of God begin to strengthen them. God, let it lift them up. Let them be encouraged. God, I pray, Lord God, let them begin to worship you. Let them begin to praise God. Let them begin to rejoice in the house of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, meet needs tonight.
Lord Jesus.